Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and this is 3 Yards Per Carry. We're going to review the Atlanta Falcons, the Miami Dolphins. I'm Alfredo Arteaga, Simon Clancy is here, Chris Kaufman is here. It's a full boat. Simon is back from Paris. How was it?
Beautiful, hot, Olympic-y. There's no noun or verb or whatever the word it is I'm looking for, but yeah, it's great. If anybody's ever been to the Olympics, it's amazing. And Paris is might be the best city on the planet. It's up there with Rio and Tokyo. It's an amazing place.
And Birmingham.
I'm Birmingham, Alabama, or Birmingham in the UK.
Not Alabama.
Both equally. I quite like Birmingham, Alabama, actually.
Really? Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I was there one time. Kind of bored.
Yeah.
There's a place down here in Florida that's called Loot.
Okay.
And
as L-O-O-T or L-U-T?
I think it's L-U-T-E. I think that's what it's called. So, and it was the butt of every single joke. There was a radio host down here called Neil Rogers. He was really, really famous. Okay. And it was the butt of a joke for about 40 years.
Okay.
I finally got there one day. I passed through there one day.
Right.
I got it. I got the joke.
Okay. Do you know what a lute is?
No.
Okay. So it's like an early sort of.
It's a music.
Yeah.
Musical instrument.
It's like an early version of a guitar. It's like a plucked stringed instrument from like the 60s, like a kind of Baroque kind of early guitar. There you go.
Favorite of the bard.
Favorite of the bard, exactly. He was a mother plucker with his lute.
Nice. As always, this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use the promo code 3 yards. That's the number 3 yards. You deposit $100, you get $100. And this weekend for UFC 305, there's a free square. I get this free square. One significant strike by Israel Adesanya. So it is Izzy Adesanya hits Dricus de Plusse in the face once. And you cash. How does that sound? Now, it would be awful if Dricus de Plusse, who did beat Israel Adesanya last time, if he never got hit in the face and you can't cash this bet.
Okay. You're talking a foreign language there?
Oh, it's UFC.
I heard syllables, but I wasn't.
I thought you'd slipped into like French or kind of.
Well, the guy's from South Africa, and his name is Dricus de Plusse. Okay. It's D-R-I-C-U-S, and it's Dricus. And his last name is D-U space P-L-E-S-S-I-S.
How do you say it?
De Plusse.
No, Duplessis.
Is Duplessis?
Yes, he's South African. It's Duplessis.
Oh, okay. All right. There you go. So if he was French, is Duplessis?
That's
It'll
really
still be Duke.
It'd definitely be Du. I still think he'd be Plessis if he was French. I would be surprised if it was Plessis as French, but that's just a masculine feminine thing. And the French language is very masculine feminine in terms of different languages for different pronunciations for different, whether you're talking about a woman or a man. But I would say if he was French, he would be how he pronounced Dreyfus, but he would be Du Plessis. And he's definitely Du Plessis as a South African. Although a load of MMA fans will probably get in touch and go, "You're an idiot. He's called Du Plessis, so fuck off." So,
well, I can pronounce Israel Adesanya. So how's that? By the way, there's a guy in the co-main event called Kai Kara France. Do you know where he's from?
I mean, I want to say France, but it's not going to be.
But you have to pronounce it like that Miss Universe French contestant who is just like, "Oh."
Called Israel Adesanya. I mean, I know we're off topic here. Do you know what his name is?
His real name?
Yeah.
Well, I only know him as
That's
Izzy.
Not his
Israel
real name.
Adesanya.
His real name, but his name is Israel Mobolaji Temeteu Odunanyo Olowofemwe Owalabi Adesanya.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's a children's story.
Imagine looking at that on a passport.
Really? Kind of pretentious, no? To have eight names.
His dad's called John. No, it's not really. But it was.
Yeah, by the way, Kai Kara France from Auckland, New Zealand.
Oh, of course he is. That's where Adesanya's from.
Yeah, he's also from New Zealand, but he's also from Africa. He shares.
Yeah, he was born in Nigeria, yeah.
Yeah.
His nickname's the Last Stylebender.
Yes.
The fuck?
The Last Stylebender, because he has a mix of like four different martial arts.
Do you know that he once said about an opponent that he'd make him crumble like the Twin Towers?
Yes, he did. He also once he fought a guy called Paulo Acosta, who is a Brazilian, right?
Yeah.
And he simulated having sex with him after he knocked him out.
Nice. He also said, he also told an opponent that on Instagram that he would fucking rape him. I'm not sure this guy's a good guy.
Israel Adesanya.
I'm
very popular.
You know, I hate
very popular. Yeah, Israel Adesanya, very, very popular.
The Andrew Tate crowd.
they had a very, very heated run up to their last fight because Dreyfus
Duplessis
is South African, right? And he was saying he was the real African in the fight, and Israel Adesanya took offense to that. Obviously, Duplessis is white and Adesanya is black.
Yeah, I mean, there's some history there.
So what a promotion that was.
A bit of history.
A little bit of history.
You know, so they spent the entire promotion arguing who was the real African.
Especially as Duplessis is Afrikaans as well. So So
well, history lesson for all right there to start the show. As always, we are brought to you by Better Edge. Go to betteredge.com/5reasons. You deposit $20 or you deposit anything and you get $20 just for signing up. Go check out our store. We got plenty of stuff. Okay.
Nice t-shirts.
Yeah, very nice t-shirts. We have the new the franchise Tua t-shirt. Kind of a hit. People went out and bought it right away. onlyfans.printify.me/products. And you could get anything there. Just check any of our tweets on 3 yards per carry that promotes any of our shows, and I always put the link in there. And of course, yeah, we have a lot of stuff to plug here. Okay. Become a member of our Discord. People are coming back on board. They're kind of timing us for the regular season. Go to discord.gg/onlyfins and you become a member there for $3 a month. All right, let's get into this. The quarterbacks. I don't have many takes on this group. We know who the starter is. I'm ready to replace QB2, QB3. That was embarrassing. Your thoughts, Simon? Are you as done as I am with with these two guys, and I'm looking to actively replace them.
They don't inspire a lot of confidence, I've got to say. Look, you take preseason for what it is in terms of the actual games. You know, they're not really about the results. They're not really about, and it's kind of hard to look at things through the lens of the fact that 41 of the players on this roster, you know, who are almost certainly going to be rostered when it comes time, didn't play. And, you know, it's difficult when you're doing that. And it's opportunities that you're looking for guys, 10, 12 guys to make a step up and some practice squad guys. But, you know, when you hear that Skylar Thompson is neck and neck, Chris, with Mike White and maybe even, you know, taking the lead, that, you know, I know he started a playoff game and, you know, he quite frankly, he almost beat the Bills in the playoffs. But, you know, is that a true reflection of what he is? You know, if God forbid Tua went down for 10 weeks in week two, has he got enough to carry this team to the playoffs? You know, and there has been some rumors about, you know, a guy like Ryan Tannehill, for example, who's still on the market, and whether that would happen, maybe, maybe not. But I would feel a hell of a lot more comfortable with Ryan Tannehill as the Dolphins number two than I do with these two guys, Chris. I think that's kind of where I land at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment, I think I'd have to agree with you about Ryan Tannehill in this offense. I think that he might be a decent fit. And, you know, he clearly doesn't have the things that that can make the offense special that I think are part of the reason that they paid Tua Tagovailoa. But he can make it fit. He'd be great on, you know, bootlegs and boot actions and things like that. And I think that it would be an interesting move for the Dolphins. And I think that they're, you know, I've heard that there is some level of due diligence on him. They are aware he exists, at least. As for what the quarterback showed, I guess the big concerns would be kind of specific for me. Like, I know that Skylar Thompson, you know, missed some throws. And, hey, sometimes you miss some throws. These are new guys that you're working with. It's preseason. You know, it can happen. But the thing that probably made me throw my hands up the most was the delay of game penalty that happened. Yeah. Because this is third year in a row now where we get indications of trouble with Skylar Thompson organizing, running the huddle, getting up to the line, making all the calls, getting the playoff in time. And yes, I realize that in his defense that has happened at times with Tua Tagovailoa as well. But it happens, I think, worse and more with Skylar Thompson. And come on, buddy, this is third year now. Why is that still happening? And maybe it's just one time, but, you know, I have to see it within the context. As for Mike White, it did seem like a lot of his throws, he was giving his players a little bit more of a chance than Skylar Thompson was to make plays, but also, you know, just it wasn't good. I'm more inclined to, on Mike White, be like, you know, okay, let's see the next game. But with Skylar Thompson, you're starting to get a little bit frustrated that maybe some of these things are, you know, are structural, as problems. And that's why you would feel more comfortable probably with a Ryan Tannehill as the backup quarterback. And they do have some money to burn. I think they're like top five, top seven in the NFL in cap space for this year. So if they really had to break it, you know, felt like they were pressed against the wall, they could do this.
Yeah. Alf, I think just to finish on Tannehill, I think the important thing here is that if, God forbid, we go back to that scenario that Tua misses 10 weeks, we're not out of the playoff race with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. I don't believe, you know, I think you'd be out of the playoff race if you thought that Skylar Thompson was going to have to lead this team for 8-10 weeks. You know, you look back at Ryan's best ever year, that came when he won, you know, comeback player of the year, and his main target that season was Jonnu Smith, and, you know, get out of the pocket, you know, throwing on the run, all that stuff that he's really good at. You know, I would feel significantly more comfortable with him as the number two than I would with the guys that we've got currently.
Yeah, and if it can't happen for you know, with Tannehill, I would really approach the Texans. I don't know why the Texans need that quarterback room. Davis Mills is their number two. They got Case Keenum languishing as QB3. Offer a seventh round pick and be done with it. Case Keenum's perfect for the system. He's won a playoff game. Okay. So I think you can trust him for a few weeks if need be. I think they should be pounding the pavement for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have anything else on that, and we can move on to running backs.
We're good.
All right. Running backs, we're only really talking about three guys. Three guys play. Jeff Wilson, we know what he is, and we know he can. You can count on him. He's played in big games for this team. He's been asked to carry the football in two playoff games. So we know what he is, but we don't know what Chris Brooks can be going forward, and we really don't know what Jalen Wright can be, but we're pretty optimistic. I'm over the moon with Jalen Wright's performance. His touchdown run is just – you got to see that hole. When you see it in the all 22, he's fitting through damn near a keyhole, and I'm very, very impressed with everything that he did. Yeah, there was a run he had in the third quarter where he presses so tight, allowing for the bounce out to try to even take it a distance. The Falcons were just very disciplined in their run fits and didn't overrun their gaps. If they do overrun them, Jalen Wright has a bounce out outside, and he probably scores from 60 yards out. I'm over the moon with this draft pick. I think the hit. Simon.
Yeah. Look, anybody that had eyes that watched him for the last 2 years at Tennessee would know that he's a really talented player. You don't run for 7.6 yards across two seasons in the SEC if you're not talented. But I like what he does in terms of the little things. He pushes the back of the, you know, he gets really close to the back of his defensive, of his offensive lineman before he cuts. He's got excellent vision. I think he was trustworthy in pass protection. He didn't catch a lot of passes out of the backfield, but those that he did, he showed decent hands. And I wasn't surprised at what he did. And I think there's some big decisions for Chris Greer to make. You look at Achane, obviously he's going to play. Obviously he'll be on the roster. Ingold, obviously going to be on the roster. Mostert, obviously going to be on the roster. Jeff Wilson, obviously going to be on the roster. Wright, obviously going to be on the roster. But then, you know, where does that leave a guy like Savon Ahmed, you know, who's been consistent, plays special teams, doesn't let you down when he's called upon? Where does that leave Chris Brooks, you know, the big guy, the 230-pounder who can, you know, do a number of things? And I think it's interesting that, you know, they split all these guys out. It looks like, you know, certainly from some of the practices and things that, you know, Achane is mixing up his roles, as Chris has been talking about for a year, that he's going to play more receiver, right, you know, maybe cross-training a little bit there as well. Brooks, you've seen him play out the slot, you know. So I think it's fascinating. Will they carry six backs? I think it's unlikely, because they're almost certainly going to have to carry six receivers as well. And then don't even get me started in the offense. Well, do get me started, because we'll get there in a minute. But Chris, that, you know, it's a good problem to have in terms of that running back talent.
I think that the running backs unit, they're going to try and keep a lot of these. I think all of them, they're going to try and keep around one way or another. And I think that is in recognition of the fact that, you know, hey, injuries happen, particularly at that position, with the durability issues that can arise with that position. I think, honestly, I'm surprised that they don't have another body in that group right now, for at least for training camp. And I think that they are going to try and keep everybody around, because they all serve, you know, kind of discrete roles for them. Obviously it's very easy to get excited about what Jalen Wright did. It was easy to get excited about Jalen Wright based on his time at Tennessee, as you alluded to. I think what is interesting is that not unlike Devon Achane, around this time last year, you started to get a sense that this guy was a kind of a special home run hitter, big playmaker, and that interestingly, he's not doing it all correctly yet. and so what, you know, what happens as he continues to get better? Because, you know, when I was watching the all 22 of Jalen Wright, you know, there were some things that I thought he didn't see, and I thought, you know, my goodness, you know, what is this guy going to be as he continues to get better and better and better? And I think the most interesting thing about their usage of him is, you know, I saw a little bit of that outside of the backfield kind of passing game usage, and the depth chart that they released kind of also suggests that when you have two separate running back positions on the depth chart, you have two separate ones, and one of the running back positions goes Devon Achane and Savon Ahmed as his backup, and then Jalen Wright as his backup, right? and you have the three of them together, it suggests that they really are going to try and use, and they did some of those in the preseason game. They are going to try and train Jalen Wright on to be used in the passing game a little bit more, and which he didn't do in Tennessee that much. He didn't line up outside of the backfield. He wasn't that big of a deal in the passing game. Or at least not versatile that way. So they're going to try to train him on. And when you have as many accomplished ball carriers as they do, going back to Raheem Mostert, now Jeff Wilson, we get to talk about him. Then why not? You know, why not play the long game with Jalen Wright and make him into, you know, kind of a special weapon? Because he's a very exciting player, but you've also got other exciting players on the roster. And I'll finish with this, and that's talking about Jeff Wilson. I would look at, you know, I've heard Mike McDaniel really talking him up recently. I think that he's one to watch this year, because I think that they're not just going to try and establish the ground game, which they did successfully last year. I think they led the league in rushing. You know, certainly they had all those touchdowns, but they didn't really lead the league in attempts, right? Now, it was still kind of like middling of the league in attempts. I think that they're going to try to broaden out the run game this year. I think they're going to try to diversify the kinds of plays that they're running the football on. And Jeff Wilson is actually going to be key in that, because if you look at the makeup of a lot of the players in that running back room, a lot of them really are kind of good at some of the same things, right? But Jeff Wilson stands out as the guy that can take carries in a different way, take carries on different kinds of run plays, and establish it and be trustworthy enough to establish that and try to press that advantage during a game. Like, you know, I go back to some Jets games that he played and some things that they wanted to do specifically with the run game that was kind of a little bit outside of what we tend to think of what they do with their outside zone run game. And Jeff Wilson is the guy for that. Not even Chris Brooks. Chris Brooks is a different body type, different speed, but actually he's a natural for that outside zone, you know, that zone cutback style. I think Jeff Wilson is the guy that actually provides a little bit of different competencies. And so I think that he could be more key this year than we're thinking.
Yeah, I love the entire room. The entire room is absolutely solid. Chris Brooks, I would be very, very careful with trying to sneak him onto the practice squad. That's a guy that people are going to have tape on. The Broncos saw him run all over them last year for half of a game. So I think they're going to remember that. I love Chris Brooks. I think he's making a name for himself on this team. I think he's going to be on this team. They're going to try to keep as many as they can. I would say Savon Ahmed is... You know, is the one, if they're going to keep five, Savon Ahmed is such a no-brainer. And I know it's hard to cut a guy who's actually performed for you, never had a bad moment with you, but man, it's just such a no-brainer in my opinion if you're just going to keep five. All right, moving on to the tight ends. It's really just three guys. One was the lead pass catcher on the day, Tanner Connor. One was the best blocker on the day, Hayden Rucci. One guy can block. One guy can't. One guy had a really bad moment as a blocker. The other one just had one great moment after the other as a blocker. And then Jordy Forston just looks really, really nice in a uniform. Your thoughts in this? This is the tail end because, look, man, I think you can pencil this into stone. Durham Smythe, Jonnu Smith, Julian Hill, they're on the team. Those are the three tight ends. Will they keep four? If they keep four, there's three guys going for one spot. I'll go to you first, Chris.
I think that we have to watch out for Hayden Rucci based on what he showed in the game. You know, and I honestly, the guy that easy to overlook, and maybe I haven't even done that much on him in the college game as I usually do with some of these guys. But of course, what he showed there is making me think back and do that a little bit more, because as a blocker, he's a weapon. He was blocking as a real Y tight end, and he was a stone cold killer out there. And I don't know what people's, you know, various grades and such are, but you know, the potential that he showed as a blocker was really immense. And that can be a weapon for Mike McDaniel, who likes, I mean, he's a run coordinator. He ultimately run pass conflict is what this offense is based on. So so I think that, you know, don't count him out. But I will say that despite Tanner Connor having a big day, he was kind of a pretty terrible blocker as a tight end, split out wide, you know, in those various capacities, with really only one exception, and it continues to be the weirdest, most baffling exception, which is that when he lines up in the backfield as an up back, and he lead blocks or engages as an up back that way, he's actually a pretty good blocker. And part of the problem that I see with his blocking as a tight end and split out wide, is he seems to be really hesitant in space where he needs to be aggressive. And so that hesitation just kills him over and over again. And I wonder if as an up back, you know, there's a little bit more go attitude and, you know, maybe he doesn't have time to hesitate. He just has to keep moving forward. But either way, he's interesting as an up back lead blocker, because how many up backs, how many fullbacks do you know that have his passing skills and his speed? And if that just is some weird way that he excels, then you might want to keep him around. You might want to explore that a little bit. But otherwise, I thought Jody Fortson, there's nothing that Tanner Connor did in the passing game that I don't think Jody Fortson can do. And at the same time, Jody Fortson was a far, far and away better blocker during the game.
Simon.
Yeah. Rucci's a name I think you've got to kind of watch. I think that, you know, you go back and look at, I remember the guy that was at Tampa, Co-Keeft, who played, now this will be his third year, but when he came, he was a Minnesota kid and he was just absolutely destroying kids in the run game at Minnesota, came to Tampa and has found a role as an extra tackle, but you know, in the body of a tight end. And Rucci is like that. And you go back and look at the touchdown, the Jalen Wright touchdown, look at how he's absolutely caving in that offensive line at the, you know, at the first level, and then getting to the second level, taking on a linebacker and moving him off the ball so that Jalen can score. That's impressive stuff. And Chris just mentioned it, McDaniel being the, you know, the history of the run game coordinator, that 49ers offense and the Shanahan system, which he's, you know, taken and moved forwards, but still obviously has all the base elements of it, is very much predicated on the run, very much predicated on tight ends that can block on the perimeter, receivers that can block on the perimeter. What can you do for me in the run game? I would not be surprised to see Hayden Rucci make this team as a kind of a fourth tight end, a guy that can maybe play, you know, some fullback, a guy that just, can just move people, you know, because that's what McDaniel wants. He wants guys that can take on a three technique and a five technique from the tight end position and be able to hold up and handle it. And Rucci has done some of that. And, you know, those guys, especially with the way that college football is going, especially with the way that the NFL is going, you're getting more and more guys coming out who, you know, who are like Sam Laporta, who are like Kyle Pitts, you know, who do what they do brilliantly, but much more as receivers and much more from non-traditional tight end positions. Whereas this is a guy who's just an absolute kind of slobber knocker who will take on your big guys and he can play them one-on-one and he can create holes. And I think that has enormous value in this team.
Yeah, he also wears a great number, 49. Tony Page wore it, and also I wore it. So it's a great number. All right, the wide receivers. Look, Malik Washington is a rookie, and it shows. He had the one flashy play. Man, the back end of this group is just bad. Like, this is a bad group. Even Willie Snead found himself. That was actually a hell of a pass, okay, by Mike White. Drops it. Hits both of his hands. Braylon Sanders has had bad moment after bad moment, and he's had them in practice as well. The quarterbacks didn't help them that much, but nothing stood out in the back end of this group. Anthony Schwartz, Kyrick McGowan, Jaquan Burton, none of them. Harley didn't, I don't know how many snaps he got in this game. But I guess all you can say is Malik Washington's a rookie. The rest of them, forget it. We have our five and our six, and I don't think they did a very good job filling out the end of this, because there are no surprises in this group. No surprises. You know, River Craycraft is going to be a guy that's going to contribute. He's going to play well for you if asked. He does everything so well. And in his 17 snaps, he was actually really good, except for that fumble, but it did go out of bounds. He had a great block on a crack toss as well. Yeah, I just don't like anything at the back end of this group, Simon.
Yeah, this is not a, you know, this is an educated guess, but this is quite an educated guess, but, you know, they are not happy with this group. And we touched upon this a couple of weeks ago, you know, and there are some significant concerns and some significant question marks. You know, I think they're going to have to carry six. You know, Beckham has not practiced at all. You know, and obviously you want to keep Hill and Waddle as healthy as possible, because if those guys go down, all of a sudden you've got an Odell Beckham who's completed one full season in his 10-year career. You know, Braxton Berrios is a slot and a slot only. You know, Ezekanma, we know, we've discussed, has not trained on, up and down in this training camp. You know, Schwartz, not going to make it. Sneed, not going to make it. We all like Malik, but, you know, again, he's a rookie and, you know, it's going to take a while. Jaquan Burton, not going to happen. Mike Harley, not going to happen. Kyrie McGowan, not going to happen. Braylon Sanders is a guy that hasn't trained on, that, you know, we were hopeful for 18 months ago, but hasn't trained on. You know, I think they'll be looking around for receivers at the back end of the, you know, when it comes to cuts. I wouldn't be surprised if more receivers come in. And I know that Odell is running, but, you know, that to me is a, you know, that's a concern. And actually, you know, I don't think anybody thought it was going to be a concern coming in, Chris, but actually it's, and I actually think this is why Malik Washington has probably been playing more than just the slot. I think they kind of feel like I've got to try and get him up to speed at multiple positions just in case something really does go badly wrong, because it's not been amazing from this group at all. And I think that's why you know, an intelligent kid like Washington, maybe you're just trying to pile it on him and think, Christ, we need more than him just to be a backup slot. We might need him to play multiple positions here.
Yeah, and by the way, Odell Beckham today was sprinting, and they were timing his first 10 yards. They set up the sticks and with the little cameras, and they were timing his first 10 yards. He did about 8 sprints all time.
You know, there's something going on there. I've been told that, you know, they're just trying to get his pro you know, midseason legs under him, I guess. You know, that's obviously something to keep an eye on. And you know, maybe there's a reason Miami was able to sign him as cheaply as they were. So I think that's certainly something to keep an eye on. I agree with Simon. I don't think they're happy with this position, and luckily they have added to the tight ends group. Luckily they do have the versatility in the running backs unit to help, you know, kind of help with the pass catching on the offense. So I think that they're probably counting on that a little bit. They're probably going to use a lot of two tight end this year, based on what I'm seeing right now. I think that they have four guys, if Odell Beckham is playing, that they can really count on. You know, Simon mentioned that Malik Washington is not being used as just a slot. I wonder how much that is, you know, kind of foreshadowing about changes to the offense and whether they're going to be doing a lot of three wide receiver personnel or whatever. But I think that him being used in other ways is probably, I think Simon is right, that this is a guy that they might have to count on to play multiple positions after all. And it is slowing down. It is absolutely slowing down his progress and probably standing in the way of him, I guess, having the sort of standout rookie training camp / preseason that you always kind of hope for when with a guy that you like coming out of the draft. This is a guy exclusively played slot at Virginia. And so if they're asking more of him, then, you know, there's going to be a learning curve there. They're playing the long game a little bit, but yeah, not happy with the position. I did have a smart person kind of wonder openly with me earlier today, whether they might try and get Anthony Schwartz out there in the game while Tua is playing, because Tua has signaled that he wants to play in the next game. So I would look for which guys they actually get out there to play with Tua, knowing that, you know, they were not getting great opportunities with Skylar Thompson and Mike White all the time. So, you know, Willie Snead, that's a guy that, you know, he should be better than this. There's no excuse for him not being able to catch a cold all of a sudden. He's a professional. He has caught, you know, a bunch of balls from Drew Brees, and, you know, he knows how to play. So I would give him a little bit more time. And when he was signed, it was signaled to me that, you know, this is a good signing for them, that this is, you know, or that they have some confidence in it. Maybe it's just a little bit of jitters, you know, first weeks of coming in, kind of jitters. But yeah, this is not looking good at that, at those depths.
Yeah, one guy we didn't mention too much, but I think we all trust him. The problem is that he's found injuries 2 years that he's been here. River Craycraft, he's had a great camp, and he looks to contribute. We were looking at this as a year that maybe somebody was going to push River Craycraft out. Not happening. That guy's making the team. All right, moving on to the offensive line. There was some good, some very bad. I'll start off with the tackles. Patrick Paul had actually a decent game as a run blocker. I like to see him keep his feet moving a bit in pass pro. On the other end, Ryan Hayes was actually pretty decent as a run blocker and an absolute unmitigated disaster as a pass protector. And inside, I guess we find out that Sean Harlow is probably an NFL guard, but not much else to be excited about. I do hold out a little bit of hope for Andrew Meyer. Didn't have any issues snapping the football.
Scraping the barrel when we've holding out hope for Andrew Meyer.
Yeah, I thought Jack Driscoll actually played okay in this game. Has struggled a little bit with power, but he had his moments, especially hitting the cutoff, getting to the second level, moving in space. Other than that, we know what we think about some of these guys that played in this game. Your thoughts, Simon? None of the starters played, by the way, and really only one guy that I think they might even count on as a backup, which is Patrick Paul. Maybe Sean Harlow. But what did you think of this group?
You've seen the first season of True Detective with Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's an amazing line, which there are multiple amazing lines because I think it is the best single season of television in history that's ever been made. But there is a line which Matthew McConaughey delivers, which is "Time is a flat circle." Okay. Yes. And there's books about it. There's Reddit chat groups about it. There's like so much online depth about what the meaning of that line is. And I think in history there will be, you know, Reddit groups and books and documentaries made about Chris Greer sitting in front of the gathered media and saying, "You guys worry about the offensive line a lot more than we do." That to me, Chris Greer's time is a flat circle, right?
Well, because Matthew McConaughey also said that we should deny our programming and go hand in hand and walk ourselves into extinction.
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing with this offensive line. We are walking ourselves into extinction. This is a group that troubles me so much. And I know that we will come back to this at the end of the season and go, "Fucking hell, if it wasn't for the offensive line, we might have had a chance," right? We all love Teron Armstead. He's a great player. He's a borderline all-pro when he's healthy. But is he healthy? No. Is he practicing? Not really. Is he going to last 16, 17 games? Of course he isn't. Yeah, we lose Keon Smith for the season with the injury. You know, then you know, all of a sudden there's an onus now on Kendall Lamb, who's going to have to start multiple games. You got Patrick Paul, who, like, credit to him, like, I absolutely pilloried the draft pick, and I will happily hold my hands up and say, you know, I thought it was a disastrous pick, given that 4 years of tape, what Butch Barry has done, 4 years of tape at Houston was absolutely terrible. What Butch Barry has done is, you know, is extraordinary, given the leaps that he's made in 3 months. You know, Alfie talked about it a bit there, but seeing him on the move, you know, the way that he moves, the way that he now sinks his hips, the way that he bends at the knees, the way that he brings his hips through contact and turns his body. The hand usage is significantly better. Yeah, there's, you know, some of the hands are a bit too wide. But the improvement in 3 months makes you think, okay, this guy in, you know, 18 months, 2 years could be the starting left tackle and could be pretty good. we're going to need him quicker than 2 years. That's the problem. Inside, I mean, can we really, realistically, really completely be honest with ourselves and say, are Lester Cotton, Jack Driscoll, Liam Eikenberg, who, fuck me, 6 weeks ago were saying we should be cutting this guy, Sean Harlow, Ryan Haynes, Chasen Hines, Robert Jones, Isaiah Wynn, who may even have died and we just don't know about it, haven't told us. Realistically, any of these guys legitimate starting material on teams that should be winning a Super Bowl, or, you know,
I'm very optimistic with Robert Jones. I'll just say that he wore the orange today, by the way. He's had a very, very good camp. He lost about 12 to 15 pounds. He's down to around 310. He looks like a player to me.
Okay. So a left guard, right? Is that what we're right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And what happens if Wynn does suddenly, you know, come back like Tyson Fury in the 11th round against, whatever his name is.
Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, Deontay Wilder. What's gonna happen to Jones there? What's like the plan with Eichenberg? You know, because he's not good enough to start. You know, is he the backup center? I thought Jack Driscoll played pretty well on Saturday at center. Mm-hmm. You know, where is Jack Driscoll's position? Is he a guard? I don't think he's a tackle. I think he's proven, you know, that he's not a tackle. But what if Austin Jackson goes down? Is Jack Driscoll next man up at right? I just worry so much about this offensive line. Just being able to stay healthy, being able to just protect people, being able to just do the job. And you know, again, it is our time is a flat circle moment, because I swear to God, this is the unit that's going to come back and bite us on the ass again and again and again, because we just don't seem to care about, certainly about the interior. And obviously, you know, Brewer is undersized. I know Chris loves him and everything, but now he's hurt as well. And it's just like, Christ, you know, this is not a good unit. And as much as I worry about the receivers, my God, I worry about this offensive line.
Well, you know, this is a little bit design, bad design, and a little bit of his bad luck. You know, when you're talking about the time that, say, Robert Hunt missed last year, that's a little bit of bad luck. When you're talking about the time that an Isaiah Wynn or a Teron Armstead missed, that's bad design, right? And I think that now seeing Aaron Brewer out, possibly until you know, the opener, or maybe even beyond that for all we know, you know, that's a little bit of bad luck. This is a guy that you couldn't keep away from the games in Tennessee, right? He was very durable. You know, that's a little bit of bad luck. On the other hand, you know, you're talking about how none of the starters played, you know, talking about Isaiah Wynn, talking about Teron Armstead. You know, that's bad design. Of course they didn't play, but you know, why didn't they play, and are they going to play this year at all? When you're talking about even Austin Jackson, he made it through all the way last year, but he does have an injury history himself to keep an eye on. Kendall Lamb, who is the number one tackle backup seemingly on both sides of the swing tackle backup, he is as bad as Teron Armstead as far as keeping him healthy and being stitched together with, you know, twine and tape. He is as bad as anybody from an injury standpoint. So there's some bad design in here. And I got depressed when I watched the All 22 and specifically was analyzing all the plays from a blocking standpoint. And I got depressed about it because, you know, at some point I realized that the best that we're hoping for is identifying players who don't completely screw up one out of three plays, you know, and that's what we're there for right now with the offensive line among the depth and the backups, because there are guys out there who are going to screw up one out of three plays, and then there are some guys out there that, like Andrew Meyer, had a promising showing. I thought Jack Driscoll had a promising showing. I thought Sean Harlow had a promising showing, but the version of promising in Miami is that you are not abjectly awful, you know, and that is depressing. I thought that Patrick Paul on first viewing looked like he had a very strong game. On second viewing, on analysis via All 22, there were definitely a lot more warts than you probably would have seen in the first viewing. which just means to me that he's developing, he is making progress. But, you know, hey, let's not start fantasizing about him being the guy that's going to play 10 games, the 10 games that Teron Armstead does not, you know? So I think that this is a very big concern. This is the thing that will sink them. And it's really no wonder that Tua Tagovailoa was so adamant about his security, his financial security with that contract, because this man's got work to do behind that offensive line. He is going to have to bail them out. He is going to have to do a lot of things to make sure that he stays healthy. Otherwise, you know, by all means, if he's careless, if he has even a careless moment, we could be looking at something bad.
Yeah, I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic on one guy. Like I said, Robert Jones. I think Robert Jones at season's end, and you could mark the tape, write it down. At season's end, he'll sign a 5-year, $50 million contract with somebody else, probably in the NFC, because they don't sign guards on this team. I think he's going to have a good season this year. He knows it's time to get paid. We're going to go to break, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk about something that is not as dire, actually made me quite giddy watching these guys play in this game. Of course, we're talking about the interior defensive linemen on this team. But first, these words. Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 5-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
And we're back. Simon, how good were these guys, these young guys? Remember, you know, Sealer didn't play. Benito Jones didn't play. He was inactive. Calais Campbell was inactive. Deshaun Hand played a little bit. But I'm talking about Neville Gallimore, Leonard Payne. Even Jonathan Harris had some moments. Brandon Peely was running all over the place with his hair on fire. Gotta like that he played with such a motor. Isaiah Mack, you could see how strong he is. But my headliner was Neville Gallimore. Like, his tape was just so good. And people have been asking me all week, you know, well, since the game, you know, why wasn't he good in Dallas? And I'm like, well, first of all, in Dallas, it's hard to play good when you get 8 snaps one game, then 25 the next, and then you're buried for 2 or 3 games, getting 10 and 11 snaps, and none of them are consequential snaps. He was fabulous, and I think he's going to be a good player for this team. He's 315 pounds moving that way. Simon, your thoughts on the interior defensive lineman? This was a pretty nice showing by these guys.
Yeah, I thought, look, we talked about this when Weaver took over as defensive coordinator, in terms of, look, you had obviously guys like Justin Madubuike and whatever, but in terms of the kind of the guys that were backing him up, the rotation guys, there were no massive names of, you know, Travis Jones is a good player, and, you know, they had a lot of talent there, but it wasn't like they had a, you know, pre Madubuike's kind of breakout last year, although he was very good the year before, albeit without sack numbers. There wasn't really a Christian Wilkins kind of guy in terms of, you know, big, big guy commanding a massive contract. And there was a reliance on a kind of a number of players to make plays, and it was 3 sacks for guy A and 4 sacks for guy B and 2 sacks for guy C and 6 sacks for guy. And there was a far more spreading of the wealth. And I think that's what we talked about with Miami, that when those names started to come through in terms of guys that we were signing, whether or not that was Isaiah Mack or whether or not that was Gallimore or Jonathan Harris or guys like that. And I think that was, you know, it's preseason, and we caveat that at the top, but I was impressed with the way that they got after it. I was impressed with the way that they played. I thought Gallimore was a, kind of wrecking ball, a bit of a terror, really. I thought he played really well at the weekend. And what I find interesting about this group is that, Petey, a kid I liked at USC, Benito Jones, who just knows how to do it, is a veteran, can get the job done. They can play all over. You can line them up all over these guys. They can play, odd fronts. They can play even fronts. Petey can play the nose. Jones can play the nose. Zach Seeler can line up at end, as he's done consistently. I just think that, Calais can pretty much play anywhere. He can play end, he can play inside, reduced down inside, he's played over the nose. He's probably not going to play many snaps as a pure edge, but he can certainly do it to set an edge, to feed guys back inside to the linebackers and whatever. So I just think what you're going to see is just rotation, 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 with a really good, hungry group of under the radar guys who don't cost a lot but can just get the job done, both as, collapsing a pocket, being secure. I mean, they were talking about like 2 point, 2.6. Maybe we'll have to kind of rename the podcast 2.7 yards per carry.
Yeah.
I think today, in terms of that's what they were looking for, and I just think you're going to get loads and loads of usage out of loads and loads of guys. There probably won't be a star beyond Sealer, and obviously Calais will get a load of love because he's a Hall of Famer. But you're going to see these guys like Mack and Leonard Payne, who I thought was excellent the other night, like coming through and just doing their job, and playing on a drive and then coming out, and Harris comes in, and then in comes Benito Jones and Peely. And Chris, I think that's how it's going to play out. And there's not going to be a guy beyond Sealer, but there's going to be lots of guys making lots of plays.
Yeah, I think that you said it when you're talking about the history and kind of our what we're talking about. Really, I think what we're getting after is Anthony Weaver's history about getting guys off the shelf, or about getting guys that you develop and that you rotate in and who start to blossom and things like that. And that was something that was hotly debated during the offseason as the Dolphins lost Christian Wilkins. How are they going to replace him? So I think that it is about the rotation. It is about, in Baltimore, you wouldn't have a Justin Madubuike if there wasn't room for a Justin Madubuike to develop, to play and to get better. And I know that certainly happened with Anthony Weaver in Houston as well before he went to the Baltimore Ravens. So this is about development. This is about putting together all these guys, putting together a five-man rotation. And ultimately, I do believe it will be a five-man rotation with those big guys, and seeing, who's going to play, and then they're going to have some opportunities to go out there and make plays and then kind of make their own future. Obviously Neville Gallimore had a strong, strong game. He intrigues me simply because I have a lot of faith in Austin Clark. By all appearances, this was an Austin Clark signing with Neville Gallimore. They have a relationship, and you kind of imagine what was it that Austin Clark had been seeing about Neville Gallimore that made him say, hey, I want this guy. I want to get a hold of him. I think that he can be this. You're kind of imagining that, and it gets you very optimistic. But it wasn't, obviously it wasn't just him. Brandon Peely played really well. And you talk about Isaiah Mack. He played really well. Leonard Payne, we've talked about on Twitter and on OnlyFans quite a bit. He played really well. Some of these guys, Jonathan Harris, played excellent football that night. And some of these guys do really well playing kind of a closed end position, which is, a big man out at the end position to help you against the run, but also do some things in the passing game. Leonard Payne, or for being a big guy as he is, did a good job pass rushing from that end position. I thought other guys did too. Neville Gallimore did a great job pass rushing. We knew the unit was deep, not necessarily dominant, but deep, because it was constructed to be deep, right? You had seven players that have played a lot of NFL football. And you need five. So which guys are going to shake out to the top? We found out that they got even deeper because of guys like Leonard Payne, Isaiah Mack, Peely. So I think that that's why you saw Tyrese Tart get released today, because they felt that they had the luxury of being able to cull away, you know, pieces that might not fit from a motor standpoint, a pure, you know, energy effort on the field standpoint. And I think that that's pretty great. It's very promising, because this looks like there are certain positions on offense that I think Mike McDaniel is just always going to nail really well. They are at running back, and I get the feeling that he might be that way about the center position as well. If the upfront guys, the big defensive line guys, I get the feeling that that's a position that Anthony Weaver is going to get right, is going to coach well, is going to coordinate well, you know, with the help of Austin Clark, who's a great coach, and you know, his input on personnel, I think, is going to be good input too. That's the feeling I get.
All right, moving on to the edge rushers and linebackers. We're going to use them all because they only had two guys playing the game. Grayson Murphy, I think, see you next year, Grayson Murphy. Tears an MCL. If he was a roster player, a guy they were going to count on, he'd be back sometime midseason, maybe even earlier. But I think that they're stashing him because he's shown so much in training camp that they want to get a second look next year. Quentin Bell played well in the game in his snaps. So, but I don't think we're going to touch on him too much. I thought Curtis Bolton played with his hair on fire. He's not going to make the team. Zeke Vandenberg played well as well. He's probably not going to make the team unless he makes it on special teams. Channing Tindall had some flashy plays. Man, I thought he was 50-50. He was either going to make the play or he was going to get the wrong fit on the run. He is. I don't think he's a scrape linebacker. I think he has to play Phil. Have him read two gaps. Have him fire those two gaps and then blitz him. And I think he's an NFL player if you have him do that. I don't think we're going to talk too much about Duke Riley. He does his job. He's LB4, and if Duke Riley is LB4, you're doing things. You have a pretty nice group. Mo Kamara did not play. He's nursing an injury. Chop Robinson did not play. He's not nursing an injury. He was in practice today. Full go. Your thoughts, Simon, on this group?
Yeah, not a lot to say, really. I think Bell's obviously made the team. You know, he's doing a really good job. I think there's a special teams place to be had with the injury to Cam Brown, depending on how serious that is. But, you know, is that a Vandenberg? Is that, you know, what do you do with Tindall? You know, does he make the team as a guy that can get after the quarterback and use that kind of downhill speed? And where does that leave, you know, some of the new guys like a Wyatt Ray or a David, however you pronounce his name,
Anani.
Him. it's hard, you know, they're not going to make the team. You know, but I think overall it's a good group, and, you know, it's an exciting group, actually. You know, it's good that Phillips is off PUP. You know, Chubb obviously is kind of the next cab off the rank in terms of that coming back healthy. But overall, I like the group. I thought Cam Brown, you know, had probably done enough to make the team. So I do think there'll be, you know, some interesting decisions there in terms of that extra special teams position. To me, Quentin Bell's kind of the revelation of the offseason in many regards, I think, in terms of, you know, what he does, and, you know, his competence and how he's played. But, you know, also listening to you after today talking about, you know, he's turning and running downfield with backs out of the backfield and those sorts of things. And, you know, there's a whole host of, like, we talked about the interior defensive line in terms of what they bring to the table. But, you know, you look at, you know, Ogba, and, you know, a guy that we know that can play, you know, plays a certain way, hand in the ground, can get his hands up in the pass game, knock balls down, you know, Chop, they're going to do, I'm sure, all sorts of things as a sub-package pass rusher. Does he, you know, does he come off the edge? Does he, you know, does he line up a linebacker like Jason Taylor used to at times and rush over the center? What does Mo Kamara do? You know, you wish he was healthy because he can get after it. I know he's undersized, but, you know, so it's it'll be interesting to see. And then you've got kind of Bell, who's, you know, knew nothing, you know, Jon Snow a couple of years ago, and he's just been molded into this kind of guy who's actually making the plays and making an impact. So, I think it's an interesting group, Chris, but I kind of feel like they're pretty set there, and maybe there's a Cam Brown replacement who'll come in. But generally, I think we could probably pick the guys who are going to make the team off that group right now.
Well, after you come out of that game, Cam Brown and Grayson Murphy both went on injured reserve. And this is an injured reserve that you don't come back from.
Right, okay.
So Cam Brown, I believe, is done. Grayson Murphy is done. It is a shame about Grayson Murphy. Here's one of the most interesting things about this preseason game is Grayson Murphy and Quentin Bell are the only two edge players that played in the game. And Quentin Bell only played 15 snaps, by the way. So they were not playing the edge players in this game. This was a game that they used to find out about those big boys up front. This was a game that they used to find out about Jonathan Harris, who lined up, not just along the defensive line, but also lined up, kind of outside on the edge some, or not some, a lot. This was a game to find out about, Leonard Payne playing out on the edge a little bit. Neville Gallimore played 10 snaps out on the edge. So they were using those big guys on the edges, and really only used their true edge positions not much and sparingly. And it's unfortunate Grayson Murphy ends up on IR because I thought he was playing really well. So I think that this next game, this next preseason game, you're going to see more edges as opposed to the big defensive linemen, because they're going to need to start evaluating those guys some more. Now, as for the linebackers, then the off-ball linebackers, as it were, Channing Tindall had some moments. I'm not sure that he actually had a good game, but he did have some moments. Ever since college, pass and blitzing has been the thing that I get excited about the most about him. And unfortunately, there's not been much else to get excited about. Curtis Bolton had a fantastic game. And we say, he doesn't make the team, but then again, tell me what the health of Anthony Walker is during the year, and then I'll tell you if Curtis Bolton's making the team or not. Because I think that it is dependent there. The linebackers, I don't think there was much to tell, or the real linebackers, I don't think there was much to tell. I don't think Channing Tindall necessarily moved the needle as much as some might think. We know it about Duke Riley. But Curtis Bolton, I think, might have moved the needle on himself a little bit. And the edge players, we weren't going to find out much about Quentin Bell in 15 snaps, right? So I would I think that that's a that is a NA or incomplete grade right now. Let's look at the next game. I bet they're going to use more of those edge players, true edge players, and see what they've got.
All right, moving on. We're gonna take this separately because we're gonna do a good 5 to 10 minutes on Patrick McMorris, which is the only safety of consequence in this game. But the cornerbacks, Saran Neal was absolutely fabulous in his limited time in this game. He was a play a second, okay? But Ethan Bonner finds himself in the concussion protocol. I thought he played well. The play he gave up, he was obviously interfered with, but you don't get any of those. The play counts, okay? The referee did not throw the flag, so the gain counts. The 41-yard gain goes against you. I thought he was fine otherwise. But the two guys I want to talk about, Storm Duck was absolutely great, but Isaiah Johnson, I predicted, I think he could do things in this league. He's physical. He likes to play as the force defender in the run game. Likes to mix it up, likes to be physical, gets his hat in there. He has an 80 and a half inch wingspan, 6'3", over 200 pounds, and plays like it. I think they did as bad a job as they did filling out the back end of the wide receiver room. They did a fabulous job with the back end of the cornerback room. I would like to keep all of these guys if I could. Even Jason Maitre has been really good this camp. Simon, your thoughts on this group, most notably those two UDFAs that have shined all camp, Storm Duck,
Yeah,
Isaiah Johnson.
I like the group. It's going to be interesting, and you know, we know about the front end guys. The biggest question is what they do with Ramsey in terms of where they move him around to. I think Fuller's been, you know, it's been solid when he's been healthy. Cam Smith, obviously, there's a question mark. Bonas had a great camp. I didn't love the fact that he didn't press particularly well on the play where he gets the face mask. And Duck, you know, it seems like every day Duck's making a play. Saran Neal's just a savvy vet. Did it at Buffalo. Great special teams player. Great in the locker room. Johnson's a kid we talked about on this, you know, like you discussed there in terms of what he brings to the table, you know, 96 percentile in terms of wingspan, amazing three cone, you know, 671. He's big, he's physical, he'll press, he'll come up and run support. He had a couple of tackles on special teams. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he made the team just because he's got that look about him, you know, in terms of a guy that could potentially just fill a number of roles. You could play him as safety because he's so big. And then speaking of the safeties, look, Holland, obviously, Campbell, obviously he's had a great camp. Poyer, if he's healthy. Yeah, Marcus May, you know, I do wonder about May, you know. Does he def is he nailed on to make the team? And I thought McMorris, look, I didn't like his tape at Cal at all. I thought he was a, you know, free agent. But actually, like, some of the plays he made, Chris, on the weekend, just coming into the box, filling, and then overtaking linebackers because he's flowing naturally to the ball because he knows where it's going. He looked like a, you know, he looked at there were a couple of plays, certainly in the run game, where it looked like they dropped an all-pro safety who just knew exactly what the play was being called. And, you know, the way that he chopped across and got in front of linebackers, got through the hole, made the tackles, I just thought was really, really kind of interesting, intriguing, and it feels like they found yet another kind of late. We talked about Grayson Murphy, who felt like that guy, but actually, you know, those kind of late round undrafted free agent guys, feels like another one is kind of there potentially with McMorris. Throw Duck into the mix as well as another guy, but I like this group. I think there's some really interesting players here, and you know, it'll be fascinating to see what happens. And I haven't even mentioned Cade Okoho. I think Alf's had a pretty strong camp, and Nick Needham, a guy we all like.
Yeah, and by the way, Patrick McMorris had a great answer to one of my questions. I asked him about his game that I said he had a. I asked him, look, he had a really strong diagnostic game. Like it looked like you were in tune with what the Falcons were doing. Do you give credit to the coaches, your film study? And he just looked at me and goes, they were really vanilla. It was kind of easy for me to make plays on this day. So it was a pretty good answer for Patrick McMorris. Very engaging guy, by the way. So it's easy to see how they could interview him and
Very
then like
time.
somebody like his tape and then say, yeah, let's use a sixth round pick on him.
Yeah, his brother was a track athlete at Cal, and his parents are really, really intelligent. And I think he had was a really high GPA and good degree and stuff. So really bright kid, bright family. I think his sisters ran track as well or played. I can't remember off the top of my head, and I don't have the draft guide in front of me, but I think his sisters played high level college football, college sport as well, maybe lacrosse or something like that. But yeah, interesting guy, interesting family.
Well, so you know, start. I'll start Patrick McMorris. I'll work back. But Patrick McMorris, do we have to recall that Chris Greer, when he was talking about the draft, did make it clear that that the coaches and scouts targeted him and were pounding the table at the on day three to get him. And so you have a guy like that. And then all of a sudden he has the preseason game that he did have. That's very confirmatory, and it's going to last in their memory. So I think that he is one to watch. He did not have a 40 time coming out of college. He had I believe he a hamstring problem at his pro day. And when I watched him, I thought he had plus range, and that's what kind of we saw more of in the game. So yes, a very promising start for him, for a guy that you know, that evidently some people in that room were actually pounding the table for. I think that that's very promising. You know, my eyes were definitely on Ethan Bonner because I think that he might start this year, to be frank about it. And what I noticed about him was it seemed like they were putting him out there. They wanted those balls to be thrown on him. They wanted you know, they wanted him targeted. They weren't giving him a lot of help, particularly on passing downs. They wanted to see what he could do. And I thought for the most part, he did not disappoint. Yeah, there was a moment he didn't get a good press. He didn't get his hands on the guy very well. And so the guy got his hands on him instead. It just happened to be his face mask, and he kind of pulled him, yanked him down, and that's why he lost his. But on that play, he recovered and made the tackle, you know, and that, I think that kind of shows you what you're looking at with him. And a young guy who's kind of a little bit of a wild card, you're always wondering, can I really trust him? And, you know, because a guy that you can't trust is going to be a guy that just all of a sudden lets up a monster play. Right. You know, like 70 yard touchdown, something like that. You're counting on him and he let you down. He got a face mask. No, it wasn't called by the officials. But, you know, he recovered and he made that tackle. By the way, Marcus May on that play kind of showed some good range because he was in the middle of the hashes and he came all the way out to the sideline and helped make that tackle too. So I thought that itself was interesting from the safeties unit. Obviously, Isaiah Johnson, I think, played a pretty strong game. So you're looking at some guys on that back end that played pretty well. There are moments for Storm Duck and some of the other guys. I think Nick Needham is a guy that they're going to be counting on, and that they're glad that they have. He is kind of second year off of a major injury. That's a big year for a guy coming off a major injury. It's the year they usually come back, you know, for all the way back. Saron Neal, I don't get it. You know, where did he come from? Because I've seen several, you know, I have not been at training camp like Alf has, but I have certainly seen his name pop up several times during from people that are watching training camp. And then we get into the game. And as you said, he only played 18 plays in the game. But I, you know, I'll be damned if like 17 of them were pretty awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really like what is going on with him? You know, is this fool's gold? Is this, you know, how real is that? We're about to find out. They're going to want to see how real that is, because he is already making the team because of his special teams prowess, right? So they're going to find out, you know, how real this is about him on defense. And I look forward to that. I think that's going to be, it is a strong start for the back end. I thought that Ethan Bonner, for a guy that might be starting this year, had the game that I was hoping that he would have, as a preseason guy or a preseason game. And, you know, as a starter, show me that you're a starter in this league. Show me that you're kind of above the guys that you're taking on, generally speaking, when he's not getting face masked. So I think that it was a good outing overall.
Yeah. Joe Shad did a piece on in the Palm Beach Post about Saron Neal. He is an accomplished artist. Like, this guy's a hell of an artist. I don't know if you've seen his art, but he's something. And I got to speak to him. He's a Renaissance man, I guess is what you can call him. But check out his art and check out Joe Shad's piece. There's some pictures of some of the things that he paints. He paints some iconography. It's pretty interesting stuff. He's a hell of an artist. All right, last thing on the way out. Kickoff. You like it, you hate it, you've seen enough games already. It seems to, and somebody had a great cut up. I wish I could credit them, because he had a great cut up. They showed six different games, six different teams. The kickoff team were doing the same stunt with L2 and R2. L2 and R2 just means the second guy to the left of the kicker and the second guy to the right of the kicker. They were stunting those guys. All six teams did the same exact thing, and they were springing one free runner on the ball carrier every single time. You like it, you hate it. What do you think of it as much as you've seen it so far? Simon, the kickoff.
I would not risk any player that you wanted to play and keep healthy on these kickoffs. So I'm yet to be convinced.
Chris?
I think they are safe from an injury standpoint. I think the data on them is great for that. I don't think we've seen anything yet with respect to the kickoff. I think that this is a area that is going to be a naturally innovative area, where teams are going to pull things you know, out of their ass, that really, you know, make you turn your head. But they're sure as hell not doing it in preseason. So we're not, we haven't seen anything yet. Frankly, I don't expect to.
Yeah. And on the way out, Jason Sanders, he's back, baby. Excited, Simon?
Oh, I mean, he's still my beating heart.
58 yards, and the second one that he missed from 58 would have been good from 70. He just, you know, missed it wide left. All right, that's it. There is no more. They have joint practices with the Commanders this week. Very excited to see Jaden Daniels. Had a very, very nice debut in preseason. So I'm excited to see him go against he's going to start, right, for the Commanders?
Oh, 100%. What, week one, you mean?
Yeah, do you think he starts? You think he's going to be – he's QB1 there or no?
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
I thought all the quarterbacks, you know, even Nix was all right. I thought McCarthy looked good. I thought Penix looked nice against the Dolphins. I thought, you know, there was some good quarterback play from the young. I mean, Drake May probably didn't play as much as maybe you'd hope. But yeah, I thought there was some nice showings. McCarthy's touchdown was an absolute beauty down the left sideline. So, yeah.
Yeah, but now he's, what, torn meniscus or something like that?
Yeah. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah, well, they'll play the Commanders this week, and we will break it down next Monday, because the following week, I'm going to be by Chris Kaufman's parts in Tampa.
That's disgustingly rude.
And we will cover the joint practices there, but we will talk to you again next week. See you on Monday.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.